like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Heidi is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Andrew Dave with us on Tuesdays. Hadn't played in a while, the Gators. They've got Missouri next up. Give us a full report. What's the latest?
Team hit the practice field for the first time in 2 weeks, Bill, yesterday evening. So, good to have those guys back out there. And the thing is, we don't really know. Muller said we'll know Saturday who's playing and all that, but we just really don't know who's available. And Scott Strickland last week was on Feinbaum and said, there's going to be single digits for as many people that were missing, but Mullen wouldn't necessarily go that far with describing it yesterday. I'm sure some gamesmanship's going on there from his side. But, Bill, we just don't really know, who got hit, what position groups got hit harder than others. And, we'll find out Saturday who goes on. But, Florida, everything looks good now. We'll get the numbers today. One more of the testing numbers a day to see maybe how many that don't end October with and how many they had from last week to this week. So we'll see. It ended up being 31 total. What was the report from last week? So Florida got hit hard, Bill. So we'll see how they bounce back from this. Against a Missouri team who, Bill, the last two games they've played, they've won in two different ways: a shootout with LSU a couple weeks ago, and then a slobber knocker. Kind of grinded out type of game against Kentucky this past weekend. So I think Florida, I think if everything was normal, you feel pretty comfortable about a win. But now with after COVID and all that, you just don't really know what to expect from Florida on Saturday.
Gator Dave joins us on Tuesdays. My initial feeling is these layoffs don't tend to hurt teams as bad as maybe we thought they would. Do you see it the same way?
Well, who can we compare it to? Maybe Oklahoma State this past week who came out and, it didn't look like they affected them all too much. But, they weren't necessarily a team that was hit all that hard. They had to delay one of their games because they were playing Baylor, and Baylor was hit pretty hard. But Baylor's in a different situation. They're still trying to build that program now with first-year head coach Dave Aranda. But they were hit hard, kind of like Florida, and they had missed some practice time as well. They played Texas, and probably what you kind of expected. I don't think many people were expecting Baylor to kind of win that game anyway. So, not really. There's not a whole lot of situations out there where I think a team has been off the field for pretty much 2 weeks, and then and basically 3 weeks before they play a game. And like I said, Baylor, I think, is one of the teams that come to mind there. So the situation is not exactly the same. But yeah, Bill, I kind of agree. I do think it's since we don't know a whole lot of details about say it's the offensive line or defensive line, that got hit pretty hard for Florida. Where are those guys at as far as physicality wise? If you go this long without playing, and I think it's pretty imperative that Florida gets off to a pretty fast start on Saturday and put some points up early on Missouri, and you may kind of have to hold on like you did against Ole Miss and South Carolina, because if it's the trenches that got hit hard, Bill, I do worry, can they hold up for four quarters, or what are they going to be like when the fourth quarter rolls around? So I do think it's pretty important for Florida to get off to a fast start to maybe have to hold on in the fourth quarter, and also just play with some confidence, not being out there for a while. I think it'd be pretty important for Florida to get off to a fast start. The offense has done that in the three games they've played so far. The defense has not. So I think for both sides of the ball, a fast start will benefit them more than anything out there.
Some Gator fans may say that it might help the defense. Can't play any worse, huh?
Bill. I mean, that is certainly out there. You know, there is a fraction of the fan base that, you know, they want to see a youth movement. They're tired of seeing guys that we've seen, you know, play safety back there out of position and not making plays, or even some veterans that you expected to make plays, you know, like a Marco Wilson out there not playing his best football. And so it does look like, you know, Kyrie Campbell did tweet out last night that it's good to be back. So it looks like Florida will get him back. And Bill, I don't want to label him this all SEC type of talent, but he's good. He can help right there in the middle. Probably played one of his best games of the year last year versus Georgia. So it's, you know, you can see the talent there. I think you pair him with T.J. Slayton, and what that is going to allow Florida to do is allow some of those guys there to play in their more natural positions. Zachary Carter doesn't have to play defensive tackle when he's better at playing defensive end. Brenton Cox doesn't have to play defensive end when he's better standing up and playing that rush end position. So, you know, I don't want to label Kyrie Campbell as this big important piece as, you know, far as production and him being some all-SEC guy, but he does allow other guys to play in their more natural positions. And I do think that will help the defense with guys, especially up front, playing in their more natural positions.
Kyle Pitts, can he play defensive end?
I want to try, Bill. And you know what? There's another benefit right there, Bill. You want to bring him up. I mean, toward the end of that Texas A&M game, he looked like he was hobbling a little bit. You know, and I'm sure these last 2 weeks there have helped him a little bit recover from that. So you hopefully you have a near 100% Kyle Pitts. You know, and that didn't necessarily have to do much physically these last 2 weeks. You know what you have to him. So, you know, basically, just, you know, that passing game just got to stay in sync. You know, I wouldn't caution. I talk right to Gator fans and getting too worried about, you know, Florida has scored on the very first possession on offense in their first three games. You know, it might take a little slip here just because of what they had to deal with the last couple of weeks. But I don't think it'll take long for that offense to get back in sync.
Tell you what, Missouri, you touched on this, but they're kind of a pesky team. Eli Drinkwitz, he's only been there this year. Looks like he's doing a good job for them, but they're playing with some confidence and some grit right now.
And doing it with a young quarterback, Bill. Bazelak has, like I said, went toe-to-toe with LSU in a shootout a couple weeks ago, and then, you know, really just kind of played within a game plan and didn't really all mess up too much while Roundtree went crazy versus Kentucky this past week. So, yeah, I mean, they're figured out along the way, and I thought Drinkwitz was a good hire, kind of a good culture fit for what they're doing there. And, I mean, what he did at App State, I mean, it's kind of track record speaks for itself there. So, you know, I think you can expect a smart team. And Missouri always gets Florida trouble. It doesn't matter since they come into the SEC. It's just one team that has given Florida a game after game after game. Even last year, you know, Florida was much better than Missouri, but still took a pretty good performance on the road for Florida. So, yeah, I think Missouri, especially with everything going on, definitely a good opponent. Florida just can't overlook. You got Georgia next week, but you got to think, you know, you're ready to go out there and play, no matter who the opponent is, dealing with everything you dealt with the past week. Go out there and get on the field, get that game feeling back, and go out there and put a good performance out there before you got to go play Georgia the next week. But, you know, Florida, like I said, Florida can't overlook Missouri. Their last two games have proven they can play. The season didn't start off too well with Alabama and Tennessee, but they've rallied together to put a pretty good team together coming into Gainesville this week.
What was it I saw out of Mullen? He was talking about the defense. He's been working with the defense, he said, whether it's Zoom meetings or what have you. And he said he wouldn't tell them what to do. He's just there to motivate. Is that basically what the paraphrase would be?
Yeah, pretty much, Bill. And I do know after the A&M game, they had to cancel all football operations. They had long in-staff in-person meetings on Sunday and then long in-staff in-person meetings on that Monday before everything got taken down. And, you know, Mullen said yesterday in his press conference, you know, he's not going to tell them what to do, but he will challenge them. And it's pretty interesting because, you know, Urban Meyer was on the Fox's pregame show, and he kind of singled out Ryan Day and Dan Mullen saying, you know, the best offensive coordinators are also a great, great defensive mind. Those guys can be defensive coordinators if they wanted to. Yeah, I probably wouldn't take it that far, but that's how he described Dan Mullen and Ryan Day. So it does bring up the question, if Urban Meyer thinks that way about Dan Mullen and he's telling the truth and not just throwing stuff out there, what can Dan Mullen do to help Todd Grantham? Because at this point, you think there's got to be a heart-to-heart somewhere along the way. Say, hey, look, we got this offense. This offense is humming. It's a championship-level offense. And now it's the defense that's holding us back. You can't get us the ball. You can't get off the field on third down. We got to have some help. We've got to get the ball back. So I think they've had to do a lot of identifying, watching a whole lot of film these last couple of weeks to go put the best players in the best position, make sure the right players are on the field right now. And it's going to have to turn around, Bill. If Florida wants to beat Georgia and if Florida wants a chance to go play Alabama in the SEC championship game, that defense is going to have to get better. The offense is not going to be able to carry them throughout the rest of the season.
Georgia Dog says, tell Gator Dave congrats on the big commitment yesterday, which was Jeremiah Williams out of Birmingham. Tell everybody about him.
Yeah, big-time outside linebacker, defensive end type. It looked like Auburn for a while. But if you kind of go back to the spring, he was ready to commit to Florida on the visit before everything shut down. I think he took a visit in February. He was kind of ready to commit to Florida on that visit there. And then over the summer, he was ready to commit to Florida. Auburn got word of it, and it didn't happen. And then, but in the end, he ended up committing to Florida yesterday anyway. So it could be a Florida-Auburn battle most of the way there. Somewhere Georgia might have been trying to sneak in late, but I don't think that was too much there. I think it mostly was a Florida-Auburn battle. Bill, but I guess the only detractor from it, Florida has a lot of guys who can play that outside linebacker position. But this is one of the top rated players in the country, so you can find a spot for him. You just figure that along the way. But Florida looking really, really good closing out this recruiting class. Not too many spots left in this recruiting class, but picked up a big one yesterday.
And they're at number – I was looking at the composite, number 8, I believe, right now, national.
Correct. Yep. In about, I'd say, no more than 4 spots left now. So, we got till February to get it all done, but not many spots left in this Florida class.
Just looking at it, and we've got a bunch of games, hopefully, that we play, doesn't look like – other than maybe Georgia in a rematch, there's much in the SEC to battle Alabama with, is there?
Bill, maybe that's the most surprising thing to me. When everything went to the 10-game SEC schedule, I told myself there was no way our SEC team was going undefeated. And the crazy thing is I had Alabama going undefeated up to this point anyway.
Yeah.
But now I'm just looking at it, I'm just like, I don't know who's going to beat them. I really don't. Maybe I expected LSU to be a little bit better than what we've seen so far. Maybe they're figuring things out after that performance versus South Carolina this week. But, Texas A&M, to me, looks kind of like the best team, second-best team in the SEC West right now. Alabama already went and throttled them, already went and throttled Georgia as well. So, and Bill, unless they just have a down week or maybe the Waddle injury hurts them more than we think, maybe they drop a game along the way. But right now, Bill, I have a hard time picking it. I couldn't tell you who's going to go and beat Alabama right now. And definitely a different thought I had coming into this season with a 10-game SEC schedule, how difficult I thought that would make it. And maybe it adds up toward the end of the season. Maybe we start seeing a whole bunch of upsets toward the end of the season when you play 10 SEC games. But right now, Bill, I can't put my finger on who's going to beat Alabama.
Boy, sad news about Jalen Waddle, though. Love watching him play. Gosh.
He was so fun to watch, and it's just amazing to me, Bill, watching Alabama and just the change of it was a game manager at quarterback and run the ball, and now it's just the receivers they had last year, Bill, and then you turn around and see it again this year, and they have guys in the pros making plays. I mean, if I'm a wide receiver, I don't know why I'd go anywhere else but Alabama. I mean, they're making plays in the NFL. They're on highlights every weekend in college football. I mean, it's just the culture change and the way they've been able to do it. And get credit to Nick Saban. He's the best to ever do it. And part of the reason is because he evolves better and he doesn't wait to evolve. He may wait a season too long, but, it doesn't take him long to readjust and be back at the top.
Tell everybody about the podcast Gators Breakdown.
Everybody can get Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown or your favorite podcast platform. YouTube version out there as well. A couple episodes this week that had Neil Blackman from Saturday Down South joined us last night, Bill. So I know you know Neil very well. We talked about, you know, does the outlook change for the Gators after all this COVID stuff? I have a recruiting episode this week as well with all the big news around recruiting and a Missouri preview out later this week as well. So good to be back into the swing of things for a game week for the Gators, Bill.
Good stuff, Dave. See you next week.
Thanks, Bill.
There you go. Gators Breakdown, the podcast. There is Gator Dave joins us on Tuesdays. Very informative. We'll take the break. We are clear until about an hour from now. And then Griff will join us. That's Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. They've got this car fire under control, but traffic is a mess here as we look at it live on 40 westbound here at Fessler's. Trying to get in from Donaldson right now towards downtown. It's just something else. 2300 block of Lebanon Pike over in Donaldson. That accident does involve some injuries. Anderson Road at Smith Springs was tied up a few minutes ago on that particular crash. Hey, check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
Pennington Distilling Company is a proud sponsor of WNSR's Pickin' with the Pickers with Greg Pogue and John Burton. Pickers Vodka, Pickers Unplugged Seltzers, and canned cocktails are all available and made right here in Nashville, along with the award-winning Davidson Reserve line of whiskeys and Whisper Creek, Tennessee Sippin' Cream. Learn more by touring the distillery in the nation's neighborhood, by following Pennington Distilling Company on social media, or online at PenningtonDistillingCo.com.
Slim Chickens is known for our 100% all-natural chicken tenders and perfectly fried wings, but our new dry rub wings are where it's at. Available in two flavors, House Cayenne Ranch that blends cool with a kick of cayenne, or Classic Lemon Pepper that brings a tangy zest. Try them as a meal or party tray, but hurry, get them while you can. Whether you're dining in, driving through, or ordering online, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Julia, and Hendersonville.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A always, BBC, closing, always be closing.
ABC. A always BBC closing. Always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Like tackle football? Bill King does, and you can connect with @BillIsKing on Twitter or 615-844-5600.
The interview with Chris Lowe and Nick Saban. I didn't either read it all or see it all. But in essence, here's what he said. He said, nowadays, offense wins. Used to be defense. But he's changed his mind on that. That's why you see them playing the way they play. Says he doesn't like it. Wished it reverted back, but reality is reality. I hate it, too. I do. I now, again, I don't want to see 6-3 games. I like scoring, too. But I like when you can have a dominant defense, and that travels. Defense travels, right? But that's one of the reasons you see Alabama so revved up. It's amazing that Nick Saban, old school as he is in some ways, is able to adapt offensively and have what looks to be the best offense in college football right now. Now, again, you could argue, you could say, well, Ohio State's only played one game. Maybe they are. Maybe it's Clemson. I don't think either of them look as revved up as Alabama as of right now. Again, I'm a big believer in the reset theory that I have adopted here on the show. Every week's a reset, so we'll see. Every Saturday gives you a new blueprint, a new look. But I don't know, even without Jalen Waddle. Look, Slade Bolden, there's not another replica of Jalen Waddle in college ball. Slade Bolden will be a big contributor, I think. He's a playmaker. Just hadn't had his chance because of all the draft picks ahead of him on the roster. He's a very good player. Louisiana guys, I believe he's a Northern Louisiana guy. I'll ask Blake about him tomorrow on the show. Blake Ruffino will be with us down in Louisiana to recap what he was like in high school. He played quarterback, and he was a dynamic player at quarterback. Anyways, we'll get a couple of calls here. Jim in West Palm. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Bill, you're reading my mind with this Alabama talk. You know, I call 95% of the time I want to talk about my Noles, but I want to talk about Alabama and exactly what you're saying with the reset thing. Because every week's a reset, but it seems like fans are already forgetting the issues that Bama has had with their defense. Two weeks ago, they were ready to run their DC out of town. And, I mean, I definitely think Bama's always going to be the favorite. I mean, right. The talent, and they got the best coach. But this is 2018 all over again, where a lot of people are talking about there's not a team that could take them out. And I don't agree with that at all. I mean, you don't think that Clemson, with their defense right now, Alabama would be favored and they might win. But it's not a given that Alabama's going to beat every team. Especially if they get into into a shootout with some team, and I think that defense could still be an issue. What do you think about that? I mean, I'm still old school that says you better have a defense when it's time to play for championships. What do you think?
Well, the last time Alabama won the Natty, playing Clemson, that was a shootout too. And if you remember, Alabama, Nick Saban decided to onside kick it, a very gutsy play in the second half, relatively early, just because he didn't think his defense could get off the field. So he's been dealing with this in games of that magnitude. The next time they played Clemson, of course, they got blown out and couldn't get much done defensively, and the offense was sputtering around some too. Yeah, that's not new, and I would think that if it's a Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama situation, which right now it certainly looks like it, that it's going to, whoever it is going to have to score some points on up there, because I don't think you can rely on your defense getting a bunch of stops. I don't.
Well, I agree with you there, but, I mean, I think Alabama, with its personnel, with the right DC, which they don't have right now, you know that and I know that gives them another advantage. They're definitely the favorite because of who they are, but it's not a slam dunk. You know, 2018, they were the best team ever, supposedly. Then they got on the field, and it was a different thing, you know. So, I don't know. And, you know, I mean, I have so much respect for Alabama. My friend's associate AD there, You know, I think they're the best. But let's stop this talk that, you know, that they can't be beat. I mean, maybe not the SEC, because I don't see anything in the SEC that's so great this year.
Right.
But an Ohio State or Clemson, who knows? You know, so that's why we play those games. You have a good one. Oh, I do have one more thing. With all this defense that we talk about, you know, the defenses are struggling all over the country, right? Do I need to be worried about our DC at Florida State, or is this just a crazy year with coronavirus and the change, you know, not having the practices? Because I'm just seeing a lot of players out of place and not there to do things. And I'm starting to worry about that. Do I need to be worried, or do you think this is a coronavirus thing and things will be okay with D.C.? Not with Norvell. I love Norvell, but I'm worried about this D.C. What do you think?
I'd be worried just because Mike Norvell, at least the style prior, was to score a bunch of points and give up a bunch of points. Score more, but give up a lot. And that's the way they did it at Memphis. That's still the way they're going to do it at Memphis. With the new coach there, and I think that's probably what you're going to see at Florida State. Now again, I think they're going to get better to the point where you're going to win more of those, but I don't remember a whole lot of stout defenses.
Yeah, I know that's Norvell's style, and you're not going to have a Mickey Andrews-type defense, but for us to be us again, you better get a defense with a pulse, and we don't have that, and we haven't had it in years.
Yes, sir.
You take care.
Yep, appreciate it very much. Tell you what, bottom of the hour here, tell Wolverine Dan, can he hold on? Yes, tell him to hold on. And I've been waiting to hear from Wolverine Dan. I figured after Saturday night he'd be in pretty quick. It's just Tuesday, but we'll hear from him. So you're going to hear some Maize and Blue when you come back, if you can handle it. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic still limping along here as people rubberneck as they drive by this earlier car fire on 40 westbound at Fessler's. So working an accident right now on 440 westbound between Murphy Road and the 40 split. 2300 block at Lebanon Pike over in Donaldson. That wreck did have some minor injuries. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Princess Hot Chicken. 5814 Nolensville Pike. It's so good it's worth the drive. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide 2 enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser man, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Patchy drizzle, high 63. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 54. Showers tomorrow, high 68. Heavy rain tomorrow night, low 64. Thursday showers, high 74. utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network for Nashville Sports Radio. On WNSR's Bob Stein.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
Wolverine Dan, welcome in.
Thank you, my friend. And you know I'm honoring Ron. It's going to be Gator all year long. Gator
That's right. Day, that's right. That's right.
Guess what, Bill? Oh, I'm a Michigan fan. I'm telling you, buddy. So let's touch on some things. First off, a change of wardrobe in aviator glasses, throw away the khakis, might make all the difference this year because my Michigan Wolverines played football. Now, that might be one factor. Second factor, every time he scores a touchdown, we should have Jimi Hendrix. What'd you do with the gun, Joe? Smoking Joe, baby. How about that guy? Huge 6'5". Monster of a man, runs like a deer, he's got a cannon for an arm, and our defense is good. I don't care how good anybody's defense is, if your offense doesn't stay on the field to give your defense a blow, your defense ain't going to do nothing. Our defense gets blown now, okay? This last game, they were able to rest, and the defense played outstanding. Bill, everything about this game is in the right direction. Put Michigan in the mix with Clemson, Bama, Ohio State, because we have a quarterback. Last year, Patterson was in the middle of an ocean on a boat. He couldn't hit water. We got a guy that can play now, and he's got a rocket arm. What do you say?
Well, we've got one game of seeing Joe Milton and certainly like what I saw there. I like the physicality, too, of the team. They look like they got their toughness back in that ball game. I like that.
And we got Sparty now. No, but Sparty was sputtering. How about all those six turnovers? We'll take some of that, okay? And they're in our house, too, okay? I like that, too. So let's see how it plays out. But there's a disadvantage here, Bill. And, you know, this is coming from a Big Ten guy. We only play, what, 8 games? And the SEC plays 12 or 10? 12?
SEC plays 10 regular season games.
Okay, all right, 10. So it's, yeah. It's two more games than the SEC is brutal. And I don't think it's really that fair, Bill. I think everybody should be playing the same amount of games, don't you?
Oh, I don't really care because I just wanted to get the teams back out there playing. I didn't care. Now, look, the Pac-12 is playing 7 if you include the championship game and then the seeding games that they're going to do. That's even worse, the Pac-12. Yeah. So, the committee will have to consider that, though. What you're talking about is an item that they will have to consider. Now, here's my question for you. Is that wardrobe change that Harbaugh showed us, is that permanent? Is that the way it's going to be?
It better well be. It don't change it. I'm telling you. You know, I mean, even if, like, for instance, let's say he wore a same pair of underwear. Put that back on. Even if you got a racing stripe, put the thing back on. That's what I'm saying. You got to go with the gear that wins you, baby. And he's got the aviator. Got to do that, too. You got to do the whole thing again. But I'll tell you, Bill, that's what we've always been lacking is the quarterback because he couldn't sustain drives. You sustain drives, defense is fresh, you win ball games, correct?
That's a pretty good formula, I would think.
So watch out, suck eyes. We've got the guy. It's called Joe, Smoking Joe. You'll see some of him. And you know what? Smoking Joe is a lot like the quarterbacks Ohio State has had in the past. Rocket arm, and they can run. That's the same typical style quarterback we have at Michigan as you have at Ohio State. So let's bring it on this year. I want some of it.
See you there, Gator.
See you.
Gator Dan. That's hard for me. I'm used to Wolverine Dan. See, the reason why, if you don't know, his good friend Gator Ron passed away. We've known Gator Ron. We knew him for a long time. He used to come up for commitments and everything else, and he passed away. So he said, change my name for this year from Wolverine Dan to Gator Dan, even though he's still a Wolverine fan, as you can tell. Steven down in Louisiana. Bill, didn't Bama just win in a shootout against Ole Miss? And didn't they just put the clamps down on Georgia in the second half to beat them? Yeah, I think it's a work in progress defensively for them. They've still got talent. They may not be super talented. I don't see the dominating defensive linemen or linemen either way. I see good players, but I don't know if I see dominant players up front for them. They may not need it. They're still good enough. Yeah, Steven says, yes, Slade Cat, Slade Bolden, is from West Monroe High School, which is northern Louisiana. R.W., who goes by Rock Westfall, big Wisconsin guy. He's down to Danny Vandenboom at quarterback, four-team quarterback, unless we get back tests that say false positive on Graham Mertz and Chase Wolf. That's still unclear. Says, how does Griff feel, and Griff will be with us about 20 minutes after hour number three. How does Griff feel about Butch Jones showing more progress in year three than Skull can? Further, he says, Jones inherited a worse mess from the Doolander. That'd be Derek Dooley. I guess we'll ask Griff. We'll pass that along to him. Josh, Bill, I just shut the show off. Can't tolerate listening to Douche Deluxe Dan talk about Michigan. That was Josh. Just saying. By the way, I believe Crazy Charlie just said yes. Okay. Josh is on hold. He's dialed us up from his palatial digs in London, Ohio. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Bill, I wish I was in London because I turned the show back on a little too early just in time for him to talk about how he wishes that they were going to come to Columbus and walk out of there with the W this year. Is he crazy? Maybe Dan's smoking some of that stuff I get a hold of strong, so it might be a little too strong for a beginner like Dan there.
What? By the way, when you buy it, do they give you the like? Do they label the strength, or how do you know what the strength is?
You get different strains. Like the stuff I have now is called strawberry cough. So typically, commonly, it's going to be between 15% and 20% THC, which is the strength on it there.
It's called It's called strawberry cough, like C-O-U-G-H?
Yes, sir. Yep. So, and it literally smells and tastes like strawberries.
And does it make you cough?
Make you cough. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But they have machines that you can stick just a little tiny piece of it in there. And a little bit of solution and mix it up, and it'll spin for a minute, and it'll tell you the percentage of THC that's in that stuff. But some of the strongest stuff I've ever had is called White Mo. It's like 36% THC.
What?
That stuff is insane. That might even be a little too strong for me, but how do we get on this topic, Bill, talking about the devil's lettuce?
Yeah, well, it was Dan not being able to handle it is how we got on.
Yeah, this is Dan's fault, him and his White Castle stuffing. I swear to God, I'll never try that again. But no, they're not coming to Columbus this year and walking out with a W. They're weak. They were weak last year. They're going to be weak this year. it's just a mirage that you're seeing right now with them appearing to look as good as they appear to look when they're facing subpar teams like Minnesota. Seems like that boat got a hole in it and it's starting to sink, so they better row a little faster. It's not going to happen. But you know what? They're on the back burner for right now. We got another game coming up Saturday against some other nobody team. I forget who it is, but it's a nobody team. And it's whoever Aliquippa Bob likes. But he and I have a bet. And once I win this bet this weekend, I think we're just playing the spread. And the winner, gets to see the loser put on the winner's shirt. So Bob's going to have to put on a Buckeye shirt and send me pictures. So stand by, Twitter world. That's going to be posted come Sunday or Monday next week, I think.
Josh, be good, bud.
All right, Bill. See ya.
See ya. Danny in New York. Danny is a police officer in New York City. He's our favorite police officer. Says, Bill, as a Michigan fan, can we calm down a little bit? It seems like Michigan fans do this at the beginning of the season, and then at the end of the season, same result year after year. Not a bad point there. Danny, not a bad point at all. I like what I saw, but again, we've got one game. And again, I'm big on the reset theory that we adopted here on the show. Jimbo fan says, Bill, you heard the man. Michigan is back. Final four will be Bama, Clemson, Texas A&M, and Michigan. Great job, Harbaugh. Let me give you that final four again, everybody. You ready? Jimbo fan says Bama, Clemson, Texas A&M, and Michigan. That's his final four. It's written in stone right there, y'all. So don't question it. RW says, Bill, does Griff believe Baby Kiff's latest shenanigans are an affront to the youth of America? Is it the worst possible example of not respecting authority? Does he believe that Baby Kiff is once again all sizzle and no steak? All hat, no cattle. I can ask Griff. I can ask him that. John says, Bill, dope smoker's motto, cough to get off. I didn't know that. See, I'm not a devil's lettuce guy, so when Josh calls or somebody that's into the devil's lettuce, I try and learn. I'll never be into it, but I try and, keep my tentacles up. I do know the smell. I was about to say I wouldn't know the difference between the real devil's lettuce and pencil shavings, but actually I would, because there's a distinct smell to it. That's the only way I would know. I never caught on to the devil's lettuce. One more here before the break. Aliquippa Bob says, Bill, I mailed 100 pennies for Kiffin. Cost more to send than the pennies are worth. Kiffin, you only owe $24,999 now. And it is. It's from the United States Postal Service. And there's the bill. Yeah, he did. Matter of fact, I will retweet it. If you don't know, Kiffin got fined $25,000 for retweeting a critical tweet about SEC officiating, about the Ole Miss Auburn game and that kickoff controversy. So he's helping him by sending in pennies, which was thought of last night. People were hitting me up. Hey, Bill, did you see this? Did you see this, Bill? I did. I saw it. And Aliquippa Bob, a guy who's not even an SEC guy. He's a Penn State guy helping out Baby Kiff. Best he can. We'll take the break. Griff, about 20 minutes into hour number 3. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Trying to wrap up this earlier car fire that made a mess out here on 40 westbound at Fessler's. It's crazy enough as it is trying to get through here this time of the morning. Wrapping up that wreck, 40 westbound near Murphy Road. That had traffic a little slow at times coming 40 east as you approach 440. Folks trying to get on that ramp there to go to 440 from 40 east. 2300 block, 11 and Plank, that wreck being cleared. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. So when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And MLS number 3030.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 4685 Trousdale Drive in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquors615. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Before the weekend's big football game, tune in to Against the Spread, the only sports handicapping show you need. Every Saturday morning at 9 on Nashville Sports Radio with Kevin Todd and Randy Rosenbloom, the nation's number one sports handicapper. He turns outcomes into income. Against the Spread, every Saturday morning at 9 on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. He gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction.
Yeah, Georgia back at it. They play Kentucky on Saturday after a Saturday off. There weren't many SEC games. What, four of them this past Saturday? Alabama, Mississippi State, Arkansas, and A&M. LSU, Auburn, Florida, Missouri. Ole Miss coming to the 615. That's right. Ole Miss coming to get some of Vanderbilt. I'm sure they're excited about that. Yeah, if you're an Ole Miss fan, don't travel. A lot of times, teams always travel with their fans, I should say, to Nashville because Nashville is such a destination location to do other things in, right? Of all the SEC cities, it has the crappiest sports school in general, other than baseball. But it's the best city to drive into with things to do. If you're looking for things to do, there's a ton of things you can do in Nashville. Don't have a beach. We've got a kind of an ugly river that snakes through town, snakes through downtown, etc. The Cumberland. It's not real scenic. But So we don't have a beach. You can't come here for the beach, but you can come here for a lot of other stuff. Food. I don't know how much entertainment you're getting because of the regulations right now, but so Ole Miss fans, my advice to you would be don't come in because you can't go to the game. And it's on TV. You can see it on TV, and it's just I just wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't. Don't make plans to come in. It's not worth it. Normally, Ole Miss fans travel well when they come to Nashville. Alabama does. Alabama's got lots of fans here already that live here. Georgia fans travel well. LSU had a good group a year ago. Yeah, they did. Kentucky fans, obviously Tennessee fans, but they live here too. Whether it's Middle Tennessee or East Tennessee, they will travel well. Auburn, yeah. Auburn would be one to Gators bring a pretty decent contingent up here too. I remember when I was first getting started, and who I think it was the parents of David Williams, but it was the pregame for Vanderbilt and Florida. And, I mean, this is years ago. And the station carried Vanderbilt games at the time. Later it switched over to Tennessee, but Vanderbilt games. So I was part of the pregame. I wasn't part of the broadcast, the game broadcast, but the pregame that we did. And it was my job to search out people to interview. So I would always find the parents. So I found some Gator parents. Pretty nice. I remember finding some Gator parents. I think now, don't hold me to that. I don't remember. Thought it was. Might have been another. Might have been somebody else. It was one of the offensive linemen. I do remember that. Josh. Bill is Todd. That's Music City Todd of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Is Todd able to reserve a Devil's Lettuce participation area on the roof for commitments? I'll bring the good stuff. You'll have to ask Todd about that. Yeah, that's not my jurisdiction. Josh has not been, of all the people, that is Josh the most famous person in the audience who has not been to commitments? Maybe. There's a lit Perry Mason had. Now, Perry Mason's been up here. Matter of fact, a couple of years ago for the Michigan-Ohio State team, he happened to be in town. He came by because we always have that tradition where we're hanging out at that game. But as far as commitments, yeah, we haven't seen. Josh has always been busy during commitments. Last couple. Of course, we've only done two of them. It's not like we've done a long lineage of commitments. Oh, you know the rumor. Can I do this? Yes, I'll do it. Now, this is, before I say this, this is strictly a rumor. Just put it under recklessness, okay? We don't do a lot of that here on the show. We really don't. This one, I'm going to make an exception for. You know what the rumor is? That Skolcan, that'd be Jeremy Pruitt, Skolcan is pushing hard to get Tosh Lupoi hired at Tennessee. Former Alabama defensive coach, incredible recruiter to the point where it was probably better if he moved on. Tosh Lupoi, yes. Wink, wink. That's the rumor out there. Yeah, again, put it under the recklessness rumor on the show. We'll see if there's anything to it. I thought I would throw that out there. I was talking to Kevin a little bit about that. Or actually, he was talking to me a little bit about that. Yeah, just throw it out there. Perry Mason. Bill, I want to come, but it's the wrong time of year for me. Still trying to see if I might work it out. Oh, no worries. Yeah, no worries. Perry's down there in Florida, in Lake Placid. He's on down there now. Even though he gets up, he's got relatives here and stuff. So from time to time, he'll get up here because he went to college here, went to Lipscomb. and has a lot of ties up here. But he's a Florida guy. Yeah, he's a Florida dude at heart. He's a native Floridian. That's home to him down there. Lake Placid, the orange groves of America, where Perry Mason is located. There's the music. Hour three is coming up, and that means about 20 minutes from now, Griff will be with us. Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation. Every Tuesday here on the show, we'll be back.